This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
I think you should
push it over here. Huh, we're back. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, Hector's phone is on the table, switched on. You know we were back.
Yeah. Put it on Do Not Disturb.
It's on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Excuse me, we're back in the hen house and it's transformed. I feel like I'm in a waiting room to go in and see a consultant.
What changes have happened in your life, Lucia, since we were together last?
I feel like I'm more important than I was before I met you last.
We have not talked to you since. What's his name?
I've 24/7.
Mr. Magoo was over. Mr. Magoo.
I've 24-hour protection now.
The oldest man in the world. Lorena Bloor, she's really amazing.
Don't be so jealous. And they're all...
He's like a man from a wonderful life.
I love him, man.
But when he comes out on the stage, you don't know if he's going to go left or right. He doesn't know whether he's going left or right.
Stop it.
He doesn't know whether he's going left or right.
You're like two Donald Trumps, you two. You're buying into the Donald Trump.
He stops at the junction and then he goes, will I go left or right?
Yeah, fine.
I know, but listen. I watched that live.
Similarities in the family. Yeah. So no, we haven't seen you since. And I don't know. I'm just mixing with. I'm in a different.
Have you?
I'm mixing in a different echelon of society now. I'm.
Oh, the Lord.
You know, I'm
echelons.
It's probably the name of a restaurant in Ballina.
Hairdressers.
And since we were talking, you were in Papa Rich's or Papa John's.
Papa John's.
The pizza place.
I left the country again to go to Papua New Guinea.
Ah, that was it.
Papua
New Guinea.
And?
8 hours to Dubai, 10 hours to the Philippines, and 8 hours down a night flight into Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea.
All economy.
All economy. Air New Guinea is the name of the... There is a Red Admiral butterfly. Will I tell you a mad story?
Well, okay.
When I see the Red Admiral...
Where is it?
Is he a butterfly or a moth?
There's a Red Admiral butterfly flying in the hen house as we speak. And somebody came up to me after Freddie passed away and said, you'll see the Red Admiral all the time and it'll be with you.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. And that is mad. Somebody about a week later said, every time you see that Red Admiral coming close to you, you know it's your brother.
Well, he was here this morning. He must have wanted to see me as well.
He knew you were coming. Somebody said that about...
There'll be people all around the country now thinking, there's a red admiral butterfly. What the fuck is Freddie Keogh going to do that alone?
Freddie Keogh could have spotted them in the apple green. He's there somewhere. But so we flew Air Niugini. When you get on Air Niugini.
Is that even a real thing?
The fuck is that?
Did a little, do you know those pubs? Do you know when you go to these conferences in the Red Cow the City West, and people put up these pop-up little posters from these, they pull them up and hang them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Looking for a pilot.
With the name of their company
looking
on it.
Looking for a pilot. Can you fly?
When we checked in the Philippines at 2 o'clock in the morning, we were like going, what's the name of this air company? Air Niugini. And
it sounded like an African dodgeball pair of fucking Nike trainers.
New Balance version. There's
Freddie.
There's Freddie.
We checked in, and then all of a sudden, Evan was asked to come over to another counter, and we've been flying for a day and a half at this stage.
So where were you now?
We were in Manila in the Philippines.
Oh yeah,
2 o'clock in the morning.
Was it kicking off there in terms of government crackdown or something like that?
I don't know. I think Imelda Marcos's son is back in power.
She's playing. she's in the play now by Brendan Behan's mother.
Is she not doing Saive in the game? Imelda Marcos plays Saive.
She's playing the mother of all the beings.
That's right.
Imelda Marcos.
Is she singing as well?
With the big shoe collection.
The Brogie Bed.
Yeah. The Liberty's Bell.
The mad thing was, everything went fine. Dubai, Manila, everything went fine.
You say everything went fine now, but you're wrecked. And
we're wrecked, but we're there and we know we're on.
Stodgy getting off a plane.
And then I'm looking at the clientele getting on this plane, and they're all Polynesian, and they're like Samoan, Fijian, that DNA.
Big people.
Big people. Wide people, small people, but strong, strong features. Polynesian, like Tongan, Fijian rugby players. That you knew we were going down into the South Pacific. But Evan was called over. Me and Roscoe take a back seat. We're watching the three trolleys of flight cases and everything. And then Evan comes over and goes, we've a problem with the visa. They're not letting us get on the flight. And I said, Evan, what's the story? He said, no, the visa's supposed to come through, these journalist visas, but they're not through yet. They won't let us fly.
And this was to go from Manila into...
down to Papua New Guinea.
And why would they be so strict in...
They are very, very strict.
Why?
I don't know what it is. I don't know why the jurisdiction is so strict, but it is really strict, almost Chinese strict. And then about...
And what have they there that's so important?
It's just we had to get in. We were waiting on this journalist visa to come via London, and then it was supposed to arrive, and we would have it via email by the time we get to Manila, because you needed this to get onto the plane to get there. So,
and if you were just an ordinary tourist...
What's the name of the place in Mayo?
If you're an ordinary tourist, you have to apply for a tourist visa.
But you still couldn't just fly there on your...
What's the name of the place in Mayo? Manila. Sorry.
I'd say it sounds very like Manila.
So about an hour, we leave this to Evan and me. And
of course.
He's the most sensible one
in
the group.
So this is 2 o'clock in the morning. The flight's at 4:30 in the morning. And then me and Roscoe, an hour passes. And then when you're looking around an airport, lying on trolleys, another hour goes by, and then Evan keeps coming back over. I know he's getting flustered, and then they're starting to close the flight. And then we had to apply for a tourist visa on the spot. So Evan had to wake somebody back up in Ireland to get this tourist visa done via Ireland, and then it came back to
him. Was he raging or was he calm?
It was calm. We got on the flight. We arrived in Papua New Guinea. And as I flew...
Now, is Papua New Guinea a country or is the name...
Papua New Guinea is the second biggest island in the world. It is the final frontier. Ireland would fit into it 13 times.
And who owns it?
It is jungle. It is Jurassic Park. As you look down, it is just... highlands and mountains.
Trees.
And fucking like places where dinosaur lives. There's insects and birds in Papua New Guinea that are found nowhere else in the world. David Attenborough's done 57 programs in Papua New Guinea.
I wonder if it's much chance of getting in.
Africa is like Stevenage Milton Keynes. It's like Africa. Africa. It's just hard to describe. It is.
Try.
Who owns it? Who owns Papua New Guinea?
Papua New Guinea is owned by the
England, probably.
No, England colonised it.
They fucking own
so they speak a pidgin English down there. So we flew to. We arrived. We arrived into Papua New Guinea. We arrived into
Papua New Guinea. Wood pigeon.
We arrived into Papua New Guinea, into the capital, Port Moresby. And we got down into the queue, and then I realised that there's not many tourists here at all. Air Niugini got us there safe and sound. There was a load of miners, Australian miners, with T-shirts on them saying excavation record dig of the year, 17.2 million tonnes. Guys who wear T-shirts with diggers on them.
Stay back.
You know that this is a mining country. Rio Tinto is in there. This country is one of the richest countries in the world for oil and petroleum and gold and copper and fish and timbers. They have it all.
Well, that's why they don't want you going
and
in there.
That's why the white man has been coming there a long, long time to pillage and take the trillions of dollars out of Papua New Guinea. It's a very mineral-rich country and the white man is in there taking it. That's what I learned as I went. So anyway, up we go. Journalist visa? No, not in yet. We just got in a tourist visa. We were allowed on the plane. Oh, yes, please, sir. Into the emigration. Into Banged Up Abroad. And for the next 6.5 hours,
oh, fuck off.
We sat in a small little boardroom, just a table, 3 chairs, and then turned off the lights because my eyes were hurting me. And we just lay on the ground. And about 4 hours after that, we were allowed to get a cup of coffee. And there's no chat out of me and Roscoe now at this stage. And Evan, there's no chat. He's
and,
like,
and you're just that kind of feeling of being in a, after being in a plane for that length of time
grubby,
as well. You're
just
and finally,
no fresh air.
Finally, at about 3 o'clock the next afternoon, we're 6 or 7 hours in the airport. Finally, a representative from the government came down because there was a national funeral. One of the prime ministers had died, so nobody. It was just circumstance after.
Is it a Muslim country?
No.
What is it? What's their, who's their God?
They are a Catholic, Catholic country. Finally, somebody from the government came down.
You'd have waltzed in now if you were disguised as priest, the three.
You'd have got in, no problem.
Yeah. We get in a little minibus and we get to the hotel and we are in Papua New Guinea. But that was a bad start. But to say that the next 8 days was one of the most remarkable places we've ever been. The friendliest, nicest people we've ever met. And in a country that really, if you Google it, they say, don't go to Papua New Guinea. You need security. You need this.
Why is it dangerous?
Because it's dangerous because there's these little holdups that happen in the rough enough areas of the city. They're called rascals. If you're a rascal in Papua New Guinea, it means you're a criminal. Rascals, it's from the English. There's their pidgin English. They use the word rascal for a guy that would rob people outside the supermarket or they would get on a bus with a gun and rob their mobile phone. So there's a lot of that.
Rascals. And what about the hoodlums?
So there's rascals. Rascal is a bad word down there. We had a guy called Sam Moko from the Highlands driving us. Magnificent lad. Brilliant crack. A local, knew everything. Everyone's related to each other down there. And he was our guide, our ears on the ground. And after that, we just had one of the most amazing times. The stuff we see.
For a country that's so rich, it doesn't have a phenomenal worldwide reputation.
No.
It's not really known.
No.
I mean, people know of it, but they'd be hard-pressed to say where it is. Or
sure, if it's too hard to get into it, sure, nobody goes there, do they?
And are they ever in, like, even the Special Olympics?
No, but they're in the Commonwealth.
What are they in?
The best rugby players in Papua New Guinea would play in in Australia. There's only 3 or 4 kilometres between the tip of Papua New Guinea and the top of Australia. And there's a visa system between Brisbane. The Papua New Guineans and the Australians are
only
a couple of kilometres between the bottom of Papua New Guinea and the top of Australia.
I don't believe that.
Yes.
It's not that close to Australia.
It is. It's only a couple of kilometres.
Like from Inishir to Doolin.
Yes.
Which
yes.
You become an expert
yes.
in Australia.
Hang
How
on
do you
a second.
Know?
When's the last time you took out the map and had a look at this?
Australia.
Well, what I like to do when I'm when I am driving in the car
yes.
and it has.
You see how long it takes to go to Scotland yeah. from Belfast.
I put in stuff like Moscow. On the sat nav.
Go to Moscow.
So Papua New Guinea.
So, but sometimes I'm using that. Do you know you can zoom in and zoom out
the
of the
whole
map.
Way out all over
yeah,
the
I
world.
Yeah, I go back till I'm on the. I have the view as if I'm from the moon. So I know.
Yes, I like that sometimes.
Australia isn't that close anywhere.
It, Tommy, the.
Are you saying Australia is closer to Papua New Guinea than it is to New Zealand?
I would say.
Are you? Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Yes.
You can fuck off out of this house right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. There's a free visa movement between Papua New Guineans and Brisbane, the northern city, because an awful lot of them migrate down there for work.
Brisbane isn't the northern city. Brisbane is on the fucking east coast. Or stuck from
Brisbane is on the Gold Coast,
no,
Tommy.
No, it's not. It is, but the Gold Coast isn't the north.
Tommy
the
Tiernan's
coast.
Doing geography.
Really
I was better at geography.
Darwin is up the top.
Darwin is over on the left-hand side.
Darwin's up the top.
Darwin's up on the left-hand side. Brisbane's up the other side. Take out the map and look where Papua New Guinea is. The tip of Papua New Guinea is almost tipping on top of Australia. And the pidgin English that they speak. So it's really funny.
Did they learn it from the Australians?
After a couple of days, it's almost like Jamaican. But because the Brits were in there for a long time and the Australian mixture, they go, Kilibali tour to Kilibali date of birth. Come on, I'll sign the surveillance form. Paddy Kili go to what that about.
Is that English you're speaking
you're very
now?
Very good at languages.
They speak
you pick up language.
They speak
quick.
A tribal pidgin English. Me coming down the car. What about 1 o'clock? I come to you about to click you there, man.
Oh yeah.
There are loads of poets there.
Pidgin
yeah?
English they speak. A lovely people. Sam Moko, big, strong Polynesian.
Do you remember Musical Youth?
Is he in it?
No.
Do you remember them? It was like they were, we thought they were cool because they were all
Pass
like.
Pass the Dutchie on the left hand side.
Yeah, mama, mama. Give me the music, Donnie, run, run,
that's what I thought he was doing when he was so talking about that.
Just 12-year-old stoned lads from Brixton.
Yeah, but these the Polynesian DNA is interesting.
And they don't drink there, sure they don't.
Oh, they do. They like their brew.
I thought they made, they only make their own herbal stuff.
No,
they
like their beer. They like their beer. They're harsh looking Polynesian.
A taxi driver.
But when you say you're from Ireland, their eyes light up.
I met a taxi driver from Papua New Guinea who works in Belfast once, and he told me that they're very, that they're not really into drinking. He didn't drink. He was a rugby player. All of that. That they live a very.
How come they're so wide? Like, with is it just?
They're stocky. They're all 5'2", 5'3". We went to a Papua New Guinea.
What's the food like?
The food is fish, red snapper.
Oh, yeah.
Blue Filipino, red blee eye.
Sounds like the menu in a brothel.
Red terrapin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get an arrow with the red snapper? Here she goes all night. Who's that? The red snapper.
Is the red snapper on tonight? So it's all fish.
I've been painting me cock after the blue Filipino. Jesus, she wore me out entirely.
A yellowfin tuna, please.
Love the red snapper.
Yeah, yeah. I love a bit of red snapper.
She snapped on that. Yeah.
So it's all fish and rice and yucca plants and plantains and bananas and yuccas and rice. And we're out in the middle of the countryside. The minute you leave Port Moresby, it is jungle. And we're out in the middle in one of the areas, like on a dirt road with Sam. We were on our way to trying to get to this plantation, this palm oil plantation, but they refused us entry because palm oil is a fucking contentious issue.
Yes.
On the way back, Sam stops in the middle of nowhere. There's this tribe on the side of the road with four or five massive fires.
Selling Wexford's strawberries.
Did they travel well? Did it?
And they were
some bored fucking yogurt on a phone
or new potatoes
with a deck
well.
Chair
they were bad. Sit down in a deck chair with about 40 pounds and he listened to his thrill and his crying and he's saving his money for longitude
and he's got an AK-47 under the fucking.
They do nothing. The fucking, what are you doing for the summer? I'm working selling strawberries. The dad batters them. They never sell it in there.
They don't even care. Yeah.
No, but they were barbecuing wallaby.
I said,
he nearly broke the car with the brakes. He said, boys, wait till you see this. Come on over here, man. And I said, what's happening? He says, they're barbecuing kangaroo. And I said, what? Barbecuing baby wallabies. He says, because this is the area for wallaby meat. And then we get out of the car and then there was tribes.
Were they selling them like out in tacos or something?
They're just massive
steaks.
Wallaby steaks. And then another guy comes along out of the bush and he has a backpack on. He takes off the backpack and up a little wallaby pops out of it. And he says, Do you want to buy one live? I says, what's this? He says, it's a wallaby. I says, can I hold it? So I took out this baby kangaroo out of the back of the backpack.
You should have saved
the
kangaroo.
While all his brothers and his sisters are there on a barbecue. So, people...
What was it like holding a baby?
It's a small little kangaroo. It's like a little baby.
How much were he selling them for?
Five Papua New Guinean.
You should have bought them and let them free.
So I started, Sam was going, what's the story? He says, this is the area for wallaby because these people are so poor. This is their meat. This is their staple diet.
Did you taste it?
So Sam was in straight away. I didn't taste it.
You should have.
And then this, as we stopped, more and more people would come out of the bush in the jungle and out of the huts, babies and women and elders, and they'd all be fascinated by us. Fascinated by Roscoe, first of all with the camera, me with the red hair. Then in the distance...
What's that?
The redhead.
Yeah,
don't,
yeah. Yeah, it's not 1999, Hector.
What the fuck is he? Papua New Guineans do have red hair.
His hair isn't red anymore, really, is it? Is it?
It's more of an Indian village, is it?
Is it a little bit fucked up?
He's like the awkward fella from Duran Duran.
Oh, you're mad for the pitch mode.
Yeah.
Is it Nick Rhodes? Or something. There's John Taylor on the bass.
Your name is here,
yeah. Oh my
yeah,
it's not as red as it was.
It's changing colour.
It was warm out there and yeah, it changed colour.
I've never seen an Irish man. So this lad was walking. This lad, as he's coming to us, and Sam goes, Dilly B, what is going on down here now with that? Because that's pidgin English.
And Dublin.
And he goes, and then this guy comes off and he walks up the road to us. And as he approaches me, there's a massive slab of meat. He's carrying a yoke on his shoulder and he gets closer and he comes straight up to us. He goes, you want to buy Casimiti? I said, what? You want to buy this? I said, no. And it looked like the leg of a fucking heifer on his shoulder. And Sam's eyes lit up and he was over checking it out straight away. Your man had spent the last 3 days tracking this bird, the size of an ostrich that's only found in Papua New Guinea. And he's carrying the leg of the ostrich for the last 20 miles out of the jungle. And then he was going to sell it on the side of the road. And I'm going, what? He said, I said, what sort of an animal is this? And then Sam takes out the coin, one of the coins from Papua New Guinea. And you see it's on one of the...
And was did you get all this on film?
Yes, it is the size. His leg was the size of a fucking young bullock. And this was the leg of a bird that he had tracked for 3 days and he had walked...
Did you say how he caught it?
Shot him, probably.
I don't know how he caught it. He was tracking the bird for 3 days.
He was already running after
him. And then 20 miles he had walked with this leg on his shoulder to try and sell it. And the minute Sam, our driver, saw it, he had it bought and
Sam
wrapped.
Sam was starving for the whole journey.
And all over it and everything, and he had wrapped. And he said, I'm bringing this back to my house in Papua New Guinea in Port Moresby and we're going to smoke it. This is a delicacy. Almost wow. Like a pheasant and stuff. The maddest thing ever was, we get to Papua New Guinea, we get to Port Moresby, and again, for the first time, I'm looking around at everyone's teeth. And every man and teenager, and unfortunately children and women, are chewing the betel nut. Morning, noon and night. It's on sale every 5 yards. There's people sitting under the shade with a little pop-up table.
What does it do to you?
It is the betel nut. It is a nut that grows naturally on trees. Last time I saw it was Myanmar, but it is the staple diet. It is the green gold of Papua New Guinea. Even the president chews it. It's a stimulation. They get a stoneness off it, and as they chew it throughout the day, they become more alert and have more energy. So it's a
Is it illegal in Ireland?
It's illegal in Ireland. You cannot get it here. It is only grown in tropical countries. I have never seen such rampant consumption of it. It helps keep down the hunger. So in a poor country, they don't have money for drink. There's nobody lying along the streets drinking beer. There's no homeless. Every single person, every single day, from the moment they get up, they carry a little bag with them. And in their little bag is their nuts. And this line...
I'm winding me trousers.
You carried them around in your own bag.
They have this line, this powder, this alkaline powder that they've made from the coral rock. They mix it with ammonia. So they have their little bag of powder.
Jesus.
They have a legume like a bean sprout that they dip into the powder. So first of all, you take the nut into your hand. I went into the nut.
Do they eat the nut?
Yes.
Suck it like?
Yeah. You take the green off the nut. The little white nut goes into your mouth. Then they put the powder, they take the white powder and they put it in, it all together. There's a chemical reaction in your mouth. And from then on, they're alert for the rest of the day.
Did you try it?
I did, of course.
And what does it do to your teeth?
Fucking mental. Huh?
What does it do to their teeth?
After prolonged use, the juice of the nut, you spit it out. So the streets
and
the pavements and the roads are like, it's a horror movie. It looks like a zombie movie because everyone is spitting the red juice of the nut out. Everyone spits it out. Taxi drivers, lorry drivers, people walking. And the roads are spattered with blood. So I said, we have to do a story on this. And he said, yeah, let's go down to Koki Market, said Sam. Sam, the driver, eats about 30 of them a day. Our driver. And I did a great, the way he talks about it, because he's a seasoned eater of the betel nut, he'll take one in one side and one in the other. He's been chewing since he was 15 years of age. And now he's in his late 40s.
And has he any teeth left?
They call it chewing. He has very little teeth left and it's all red. Everything is red. Went into the market where they all sell it. Type of like gangs sell the wholesale of it and then they knock it out and people go and sell it in their own areas. Now it's completely legal. And you buy it for 50 cent a nut. which is nothing. It's probably about 10 cents euro.
And how long does the nut last?
The nut lasts for about 15 minutes, but then you have to chew the second one to continue the buzz. So we went into the place where they sell it all. We had to get permission to go in there because it's a large male-dominated market and they're fairly fucking tough looking and they're like cameras and white men coming in talking about the nut. So I had to go in and act the sort of cool dude and say hello to the boys and shake a few hands and a few high fives.
Like you're buying chonk in Navin.
I had to use all
Scooby, 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 any chunk.
Yeah, is there any chunk price? What have you got? You give me an 8 to that, yeah? What have you got? I'll take an 8-bar night. I had to go in and use my own. I had to use all my
work. Your Navin accent is the same as theirs.
I had to use all my Navin spidey senses to get
same
in.
Same pitch in English as Navin, so you were
so I went in with the boys. Then this, I went, right. And then I had said, I went, Mass Mora Gullamagadi and Cookie, Southport, Mosby, Posse. And then they all go, yay. And then they're all gathering around us with the camera. They're all coming in tighter and tighter. And Roscoe's getting claustrophobic and we're worried about getting robbed with our mobiles, so we're in the middle of this fucking market and this one guy who speaks English comes up. He goes, I'll show you what to do, my man. So we go over, I get the nut, he peels it off and his hands, he peels it off and he just gives it me. He says get that into you. So in I put it. He says, now start chewing. I start chewing and he says, now get your legume, get your green bean and dip it into the fucking alkaline. So I put it in and he goes, more, and I dip it in again and then he goes, now start chewing. Well, mother of divine Jesus, there was a liftoff. Roscoe's filming me. It's 32 degrees. I'm starting to get the cold sweats like a whitey. And my fucking head just lifted about 2 foot off me to about, I felt as if my neck went up about fucking 26 inches. And then I went, oh, gee, Jesus Christ. He goes, now keep chewing. And then next minute, they're all waiting. And then I opened my mouth and Roscoe nearly fucking said, Jesus Christ, like a horror movie. And then I just went,
why? Because it's all red, is it?
I spat on the ground and they're all there. Yeah. They're all cheering like this. Now you know the nut. Now you chew the nut. Now you know the nut.
And do you swallow the nut?
No,
is
you
it
don't,
like a pistachio
no,
nut?
No, you don't swallow the nut. You don't swallow it. You spit it out
it's
after.
It's a hard nut with a shell on it.
The liquid.
Was it a good buzz?
I had to go outside and get a bit of water. After about 20 seconds, the rush, it's a rush, yeah. And it wears off. And all of a sudden then you get this little stoneness off it, a giddiness, and they're all smiling and everyone's smiling back to you with fucking horror teeth.
With the blood mouth.
And the blood mouths and Dracula's and
Red
everything.
Daddy.
And then there's a little kid that comes up to you, unfortunately 8 years of age, and he's smiling at you with a
bit. What is it?
Because they're all on it, because it's a poor country and this is the only way they can survive.
But hang on, you said they've all these natural resources, so who's...
The white man is taking it, Tommy. Rio Tinto's the biggest mining companies in the world. Okay. The Chinese are in there. The Americans are in there.
They've been rolled by outsiders.
They've been rolled there from their timbers to their fish stocks to everything. But unfortunately, because the green nut is so cheap, they don't have money for alcohol. This sustains them and it suppresses the hunger. So a child going to school in the morning who's got to walk with a backpack along the road will have the beetle.
You should have brought a few of them in for me. They'd have done me no harm.
Every single person in Papua New Guinea chews the betel nut.
And did you fly away loving the country? When you went home,
Tommy,
like, or were you glad to get out of it?
No, I just thought that when you Google, and fuck Google, because it goes Papua New Guinea dangerous, Papua New Guinea this. We met the most caring, nicest, unspoilt, amazing place. I've been in the Amazon. I've been a few places, but this is final
what?
Frontier stuff.
You've been what?
I've been this place.
Whoa! You've been where?
In the Amazon, a place like that.
Get this, the fuck.
This
when did you do that? Yeah. It didn't take long, did it? It didn't take fucking long.
Shut up,
what's the time? What's
Shut
the
up,
time?
Will you?
What's the time? We've been off air for 4 months, and we've only said hello to one another. And he's crowbarred in. I was in Leitrim. I was in
Papua New Guinea.
I was in Orlyford in the Amazon. Yeah. And then we went deeper into the Solomon Islands. We flew off down again where I see children going to school and dugout canoes. I'll tell you, everything in my mind of the South Pacific, every image that you have of these pristine coral white sea beaches and tiny little atoll islands and this amazing world of the South Pacific and all the films that you've seen of the South Pacific and your man with his fucking volleyball, Tom Hanks, and everything.
That was out there, wasn't
Wilson,
it?
Castaway.
I did my own version of Castaway on a little remote island. We spent the day on a tiny little remote atoll in the South Pacific and I got into the water and it's crystal clear and the coral and Finding Nemo and everything you have in your head. I was just...
What's it like coming back to Clare Galway?
Very similar.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
America was... it was.
Oh my God, did you get a new tattoo?
Got a few new tattoos.
Of a bell?
Oh, yeah. Jesus, look.
If you shake your hand...
Oh, shake the hand and ring the bell.
Ding. What's that about now? What does that symbolise?
Look at the fucking... The arms are done. The sleeves.
You're like a colouring book.
The sabre of power. Tommy, what's the...
Will you go away? He has the Empire State Building on Jesus, it as well. Which a pair of eyes.
Anyway.
I was supposed to do this documentary for Netflix on mental health, but then... Excuse me?
Sorry,
did I make you laugh there or something? The sneery head in you.
Go on. A documentary on
Netflix. Did it somehow get cancelled?
Did I tell you I got diagnosed with ADHD?
No, I didn't, but I'm not surprised. But anyway...
Did I tell you that?
No.
You did not.
I did get diagnosed with it.
Hang on a second.
Is that the only thing?
What?
Was that the only
thing? I've been diagnosed with ADHD.
Right, go
officially.
On,
well, by Yvonne.
So, all right, well, that's good.
My wife, the qualified psychotherapist, yeah, says I have ADHD. Which I might do, I don't know. It'll explain a lot of things. But this documentary company from America got in contact to say, we're shooting a documentary about comedians and mental health and we'd love you to be in it.
Oh, great.
We'll fly over to Atlanta.
Oh, yes.
Georgia. And it's Kevin Hart's production company. We'd love you to be in it. And this is the fucking strangest thing ever. $100,000 for doing it.
Brilliant.
$100,000 for doing it.
Yeah.
For flying to Atlanta and talking about yourself.
Go on, Tom.
And did they know that you had a mental health at this?
That's some budget, Tom. That's time. Some budget.
Did they, so hang on there, Larry.
Did they know that you had...
Did you hear what she just said to me?
Did they know
you had a mental health problem? I don't have a mental health problem.
A diagnosis. Did
no, they
know?
Didn't, Larissa.
Well, why did they want you on it?
There's something about me that just exudes...
Fascinated them.
Something about you that stood out to them.
That just says he's not well.
This
brilliant.
This offer, Tommy.
They could tell from the snips they see me on YouTube.
Brilliant.
That he's not
now
well.
Now I'm on to
that fella.
This lad is not stable.
He's not well.
Okay, excellent. You'd fit the profile perfectly.
That's right.
And did you go?
So they said, we'd like to have a chat with the director. So I said, absolutely. And what they were going to do is it was a group therapy session. So group therapy is where you all sit around in a circle and there's a moderator. Now, Yvonne has done a few, worked at this for a while, so she knows more about it than I do. But they, instead of you talking on your own to a psychotherapist, you use the power of the group to fucking go through stuff. So you're talking about yourself and other people would be chipping
in your situation.
Chipping in and talking. And it's supposed to be, maybe it's a more powerful way.
Would it be like AA or NA or?
Or maybe it's like a cocaine version of solo therapy. It's just a bit more overwhelming.
Mm. Right.
Or something. So this was their idea. We're going to get comedians to sit around in a circle and talk about their mental health You know, why you can't get dentists or fucking truck drivers to do it, I don't know. Anyway, comedians to do it. So, and I'm like, what the fuck? Who has that?
$100,000 Americans, they've loads of money.
But, and tell this other thing, just as an example of me ADHD, just to get distracted for a moment. I was talking to a friend of mine who's very connected to the whole Netflix stand-up comedy scene. And we're talking about Dave Chappelle. And he was saying, oh, you know, I have a bit of difficulty with Dave Chappelle every now and again, blah, blah, blah. He's doing a lot of stand-up material about trans people. And I said, well, is he doing a lot of material about trans, or is the 5 minutes he's doing about trans people, is that just getting more publicity than the other 55 minutes he's doing? So we're yapping about this. And then he says, you know, Dave has an amazing deal with Netflix. And the deal is that every time Dave, and this is what your man told, I don't know if this is true, but your man was fairly well in. He said every time Dave Chappelle has a special, an hour of new stand-up material, he gets $25 million from Netflix. Because Netflix is like a global, it's like the RTE of the world.
It
now,
is, yeah.
Right?
Just like our podcast. Yes. Right? Yeah, the same
so,
amount. Yeah.
Global.
So that's so 25 Jesus, fucking that's million.
But that's not surprising.
Go on.
It is to me.
For every 25, hour he gets ready, so, $25 million. So, that's a Michael Jordan contract.
So you say you're Dave Chappelle, right? Or whoever. You're on that type of money. And you get an hour's worth of stand-up together. And maybe it's not the most hilarious hour you've ever come up with. And maybe there's 15 minutes in it about trans people that nobody else wants you to do. But it forms part of the hour. And you are going back to Netflix and saying, I have an hour of stand-up. Part of the deal is you don't censor anything I say. And he gets 25 million.
That's humongous.
Sure, he was doing a special a year there for a while, I think. Anyway, so Netflix have this amount of money. So 100,000. And there's going to be like 10 of us.
Is each comedian getting the Tony?
I guess.
I mean, that's a phenomenal budget.
Right. So they says, will you have a chat with the director on Zoom? Oh, I God. Says, fucking anytime, day or night.
I'm
time difference be fucked.
Yeah.
I'll have a chat with the director.
Yeah.
So it's organised. I sit down, we're yapping for an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes, having the crack. We understand one another.
What's the director's name?
I can't tell
Rodney.
You. We're having the crack. There's a vibe. He says, you're perfect for this. I'm feeling as if I'm perfect for this.
You saw
I'm
the thinking, tattoos on the hands.
I'm thinking to myself, they said they're going to fly myself and my wife, the psychotherapist, out to Atlanta.
Not part of the deal.
Not just business class. Fucking first class.
Or private jet.
All right. We'll put you up in a fine hotel. You're only going to be over there for 3 days. Yvonne says,
this is getting better and better.
Listen, Yvonne says, I love fucking that. I love you. I love Georgia.
Yeah. I love you.
Yeah.
I'll put my special underpants in the suitcase.
Oh my God, this is getting better and better.
Right. So with this trip planned, we'll go to Atlanta. We'll do this mental health thing.
Simple.
And then we'll fuck off. Yvonne, her favourite place in the world is Savannah and South Georgia.
It's only an hour's flight down.
Oh yeah, he's been there, right?
Yeah. You can call to visit my sister too while you're there.
So, myself and the director are, the director sends me other stuff that he's directed. I'm sending him other, remember the documentary?
It's a fucking loving. Tommy Tiernan's Wild Australia.
Do you remember the documentary I did where I had no material?
Don't tell me that fucking
did you like the darkness of that?
Right. So remember that one where I lost my mind on stage over the course of 6 months travelling around Europe. No material. Just went up, started fucking shouting at strangers in Amsterdam. Anyway. So, my one of my big memories of that is this woman came up to me after the show and she says, are you all right? I says, what do you mean? She says, I'm a psychiatric nurse. And I've seen people have nervous breakdowns before and I think you're on the edge of one. Anyway.
In the middle of it.
I'm sending him this documentary. He's sending me that documentary. We're vibing off each
director
other.
Loving this.
Right. And then so we have an hour and 55 minutes. We're fucking chatting.
Something's going to go wrong.
He sent him too much material.
Right. So we had the chat. We had the trip all fucking planned. Looking at cowboy boots I was going to buy for myself down in Savannah. And
they're
Stetson. I would say
36 hours after the fucking chat, I get an email.
Disgusting.
They were not going to be able to use you.
Oh, fuck.
They diagnosed you with something.
Tommy? I was dropped. I was dropped from the documentary.
You became too friendly with
them. Oh, Jesus,
I was dropped. We were getting on. It's always the fucking way. It's same as sometimes you do an audition and it goes really well and you don't get the part and you don't understand. And then you do another audition and it only goes half well, but they choose you. So about 36 hours later, blah, blah, blah.
And of course you don't get a fucking an explanation as to what went wrong.
No, they just, look, we have decided, that, well, they the way they kill you in America in the entertainment business is through flattery. Oh, you're amazing. There's nobody like you.
Really.
You are the best. Yeah. I hope we get to do some amazing
just
work with
out
you
this time.
We're all such big fans.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to use you this time round. As you know, there's a writer's strike on in America and it's affecting our budgets.
Boring.
And we are such huge fans of your work.
And then Tommy.
So excited. And the director sends his love.
And then Tommy turns
and the director's email isn't valid anymore.
What's for dinner? Oh, fuck, Tommy.
So that was that.
Five numbers in the lottery.
Anyway, it was too good to be true.
Too good to be true.
Did you ever take anything from your work environment that you shouldn't have? And you've got at home and you're going, oh my God, if I ever actually, you know, if anyone ever found out that I took this.
Okay, to finish the show this week, I will show you something that I took from the
Don't tell us what it is.
Close your eyes. You have to close your eyes. Okay. Both of you have closed your eyes, okay? So, just give me 1 second here now. I'm off mic for a second. Okay, I'm kind of off mic.
Yes.
I'm over at Larissa's microphone now.
Oh, yes, sir.
So what I did, now, I don't know if you'll recognise it.
Can we open our eyes?
No, not yet. So I was up in the RTE studios.
Is this lately?
Just stay there now. Don't do anything. Keep them eyes closed. Hang on now till I get back to myself.
When did you take this?
I took this, I would say.
Is it one thing?
It's one thing. I took it. Now, you know, I've strange tastes, so you're probably thinking, oh.
Don't tell me it's a chat.
No, wait.
Is it a Jim Fahey tie from the 9 o'clock news?
No. So, as you know, they got a new fancy screen, didn't they, in Studio 2. They used it for the soccer.
Right.
Don't they? They have a wraparound screen that.
You hardly took that.
So no, I didn't take that, but I took something that they no longer needed because.
Are we allowed to say what it is when we see it, or should we just
leave
it?
So, 1, 2, 3, open your eyes.
Oh!
Jesus Christ! It's what the fuck? Tommy!
It's the Jesus from the Mass. They used to have an RTE.
It's hardly a Picasso like, but
it's
it's a canvas.
I've seen this on RTE.
Yeah, the Mass.
The
it's Mass on 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and that's the Jesus they have behind the priest.
Where did you find it?
Well,
I was walking
all
past.
All of the things in RTE that you could have taken.
I expected
what
a folder full of fucking files or something.
No, that's.
Is there anything stuffed in the back
Tommy,
of it?
That's mad. How did you get it out of there without them seeing you?
Well, no, see, they were getting rid of it. And I said,
it doesn't really look like Jesus now that I'm staring.
He looks like
at
he's
him.
Wearing a sombrero.
It's a Mexican Jesus.
He's got really large eyes.
Tommy, what are you going to do with it?
Tommy, where was it all the time?
Behind you, he was looking at you, Larissa.
I never even saw it.
So we'll post a picture of that. Tommy has the Jesus from the RTE.
You need to get a picture
Mass.
Of the two of me now.
Get a photo. So for the last couple of years on the podcast, and it's been amazing, and we have had thousands of people sending in names of the shows, teamed with a place in Ireland and twinned with a football club.
And I accepted the responsibility that you gave me of choosing the names, and thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
that.
Very much, Tommy,
three years
of it, and some absolutely superb names have come in from
my
all
two favourites, Ockham Hotspur, and Kinnegad and Tobago.
There was magnificent Rialto Madrid, and there was some magnificent ones back in the day. But now, Tommy.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to take a famous person and mix them with an Irish town. So, for example.
I have one.
I tell you, no, keep it to yourself.
No, can I say mine? Charleston Heston.
Charlestown Heston.
Yes. It's not bad. That's off the top of my head.
It's all right. Slane Lowry.
That's good. Yes. Huh?
Robert Hedford.
Yes.
Trim Kardashian.
Now we're talking.
So that's the type of thing we're looking for.
Trim Kardashian.
That's my favourite one.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's good.
Robert De Niro. So if you have any names like that, please send them in to us. A famous person with an Irish town, and we'll name the podcast after your suggestion and give you a shout out on the show. Thank you very much for listening. It's great to be back talking to you, and we'll be with you again next week. God bless and good luck.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.